The reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. It can be found on page 857 of the Bibles. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
I see kids coming in. I see kids joining us. Hi to the kids. We've got this book here, which Lauren's kindly prepared for us so that we can draw some pictures, make some notes during this talk today. And there's something that's not in this book that I want to invite you to do. Kids, have a think about this for a second. What's the best view you've ever seen? What's the best view you've ever seen? And just find a little bit of a corner on that booklet somewhere and draw a picture of the best view you've ever seen. Adults, have you been to the Blue Mountains? I grew up going to the Katoomba side, knowing that there was a great view. And you know, when you look over the Katoomba side down into the valley, isn't it stunning? But it wasn't until later that I realized that there's actually another side on the other side of the highway, which also has a beautiful view, you know, on the Govetts Leap side. And so as I got older, I realized there's more to explore on the other side. And here we are on the peak of change as a church. And we've got a familiar view that we've grown up with. We've got a view to the past, the 9 o'clock church, where there's so many things we can be thankful for. And we're kind of about to embark on this new exploration where we look to the future. And we're not in it yet. And so it's a little less certain. We haven't explored it very much. However, we've got a lot to look forward to. It's a stunning view up ahead. But we come at it with mixed emotions, because if you like routine, if you like stability, then we're going through a change. If you like exploration, if you like, you know, new things, then you'll be really excited. But it is going to take courage, because right now we are in the midst of an interesting, dislocating time, aren't we? We've got the COVID pandemic, and we're going through a change, and we haven't been able to gather. You know, the 9 o'clock church has been really squashed a little bit in its opportunity to gather because of COVID. And so we're in this moment where we're going to change and look to the future, but it's going to take gospel courage. And we are going to do it because we've got gospel courage, because the same gospel that made the past great is the same gospel that makes the future great. And that's what we're going to think about today. The same God who makes 9 o'clock church full of thanksgiving is the God who will work in our future to make the future full of stunning things, full of beautiful things, full of community, full of vibrance, full of life. The gospel guarantees a good future. So I've chosen this passage today, 1 Peter chapter 1, because it looks backwards and it looks forwards, and it's full of celebration. There's great confidence, faith. You could tie balloons to it. It's a celebration and praise of joy and thanksgiving. And that's true even though that this letter was written to a group of Christians that had mixed emotions. This group of Christians here were scattered but chosen. So the community here in 1 Peter was scattered through Asia. They were in the Roman Empire, lots of little churches around the place. They didn't belong to a church with 1,000 people and a great kids and youth program. There were all these small churches and clusters of people that were around in different parts of the Roman Empire, and it's difficult to be scattered through that Roman Empire, remembering that the Apostle Peter, who wrote this letter, was in the end executed within the Roman Empire. They were scattered, they had pressure on their lives. And that's a little like what we may feel at the moment, a sense of scattering. COVID, church has been smaller than usual this January. Omicron's kind of taken a bit of energy and a bit of zip out of us. And we haven't been able to gather in the same way. And now we're scattering into new congregations, which isn't really scattering so much as galvanizing when we think that we're going from 3 congregations in the morning to 2 and 3 kids programs to 1. But we will scatter into different communities, congregations. Some people might join the 9:15, some might join the 10:45, and some might come on Tuesdays. So there will be some scattering of relationships. And maybe you're feeling dislocated. Maybe you're watching this. Maybe you feel disconnected. Maybe you're not sure where you belong. But let's not get lost in this transition. Let's not fall by the wayside. Let's not slip between the gaps. Because wherever you end up, you will find that you'll be loved and welcome at any service. Because belonging is the work of God. We've belonged in the past because of the work of God, and the same God's at work in the future. And these scattered Roman people who are moving, there are scattered around, not Roman people, these scattered Christian people in the Roman Empire still belonged. They knew that they belonged because belonging is the work of God. And that's what I want to pick up in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace to yours in abundance. This isn't a dirge about scattering. This is a celebration of belonging. A little exile congregation is chosen. These people are chosen by God. Chosen to be sprinkled with blood. Chosen to be obedient to the faith. But chosen to belong to church. If you keep reading through 1 Peter, it says this in verse 9. You are a chosen people. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Chosen to belong to the people. And this is all because God chose to give Jesus. And so we read that Jesus is chosen in verse 18. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. This is why we belong. And this is why it's a celebration of belonging. Even though they're scattered, they belong to the church of God. And in a sense, every feeling you've ever had of belonging at 9 o'clock church is because God is at work to make us belong. God chose Jesus before the creation of the world to give his blood so that we could belong, so that we could be the people of God. And so kids, if you're here listening to this, and kids, if you're watching at home, You belong, and we're so happy that you're here with us. We love you, and we just want to express that we love having church with kids. And you know, if I was going to draw my favorite view in the world, do you know what it would be? Here's one of my favorite views in the world. I would draw kids' church. I would draw kids' church because in kids' church, you're learning about Jesus, you're saying prayers and sharing all the things you love about Jesus. You ask some of the best questions. We're so happy for the leaders that are teaching you about Jesus, but it's just such a joy to have kids in this community. And in fact, when this congregation began, we moved from about 70 people to 170 people with the inclusion of families. It's been a vibrant, multi-generational service. We're so happy to have kids with us. And you're happy to be part of this church, kids, I'm sure. Like on the booklet, there's place for you to write and draw pictures of what you love about this church, and there's a space to write what you've learned about Jesus. So why don't you keep working on those booklets and just show us or write down what you love about Jesus. But thanks to everyone who's welcomed the children, just to feel that when I started here 7 years ago, my family was welcomed. I remember there were some grandparents that ran community gatherings for young families to help us to feel like we're part of this community. And so we're so grateful that you've invested in the young kids, my kids, our kids. We're also going to miss the community. We've just heard Laurie mention friendships that are formed here. This is a significant community because God's been at work to bind us together, to be a community of love. We thank God for the people that have stood at the door and welcomed us. We thank God for the people that have served here on stage and behind the sound desk that are committed to helping us to gather together in this way. We thank God for the kids and youth leaders. We thank God for our friends that have opened up their homes. We thank God for the leaders who've shaped and taught us, and we thank God for every single person who's here today, watching online. We thank God for this community. It's a significant community. So let's thank each other, you know, over morning tea. Go out of your way to just thank people. And if you're watching at home, maybe you could send text messages or a letter or a gift to someone who's been significant in your life over the last many years, because this is a community of thanksgiving. When I look to the view of the past, when I stand on the Blue Mountains and look to the view of the past, I see God at work building a community of hospitality, love, and joy. And now when we look to the future, God will be at work to create hospitality and joy as we explore. We might feel a little bit scattered while we go through the change, but in the end, God will help us find our place as we look right back to the foreknowledge of God in choosing us to belong to the people of God, and right back to him choosing Jesus to shed his blood. So let's celebrate this day. Let's celebrate this day as we look backwards, and let's celebrate this day as we look forwards. Nothing can get in the way of the future. Nothing can get in the way of God doing his work in the future. These Christians, they were facing abuse and insult for being Christian. They were bearing up under unjust suffering. They were facing hardship in their family and in society because of their conversion to the Christian faith. They were suffering for doing what was good. They were grieving but rejoicing. So we pick up verse 6 and it says this: "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." There's nothing easy about suffering. There's nothing easy about grief. There's nothing easy about trials. But it proves faith. It refines, and it increases praise. It proves faith because it's hard, and you'll only stand through it if your faith is strong. It's a refining process because it burns away things that don't last, and it shows where your heart's really at as it focuses your complete attention on God. It increases praise, not just praise because God has helped you outlast the trials and sufferings, but the praise of the community that witness your faith, the praise of the community who are strengthened by your own resilience. And together we all lift our eyes as we look to that guaranteed future together, and we see that you've been resilient. There's a living hope. There's a living hope through challenge and struggle. It's there in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It says that the resurrection of Jesus gives us living hope, which is not just about hope for the future. It's living hope, meaning it's hope already alive, because it says there that Jesus already rose from the dead, therefore we've already been born again into this living hope. And so it's as sure as verse 4 and 5. We've been born again into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It says that it's never going to perish, spoil, or fade. It's not going to perish like an old tomato. Our inheritance is not going to fade away, you know, like silverware that always needs shining. And it's not going to spoil like COVID can spoil gatherings or spoil households. The future is as sure as the past. The future is rock solid because Jesus already rose from the dead. And the resurrection is sure. The inheritance is sure. So the future's looking good. The past was looking great. But the future is looking good too. And it's as sure as heaven. And I know the future is great when I get to watch more senior members of our congregation who've lived through the years. And it's just it's a great treasure being part of the 9 o'clock church, that we've got people that have been around this church 50, 60 years, and we've got people that have had lots of experiences of life, both of the joys but also the trials. One of the highlights of the last 7 years is having grandparents in the faith, people twice my age who can tell me stories of the past, you know, stories of the Billy Graham Crusades and stories of things that have gone on in their business life, or whether they've, you know, changed the shape of a certain industry and tried to tidy it up, whatever it is, stories about falling in love, stories of starting a family, all this history. But the stories that really stand out are the stories of the challenges, the griefs, the trials, the tests, of war, of rations, of long hours and bankruptcy, broken marriages, wayward children, death, loneliness. Talking to grandparents in the faith is like talking to heroes of the faith. And I know that people don't really feel super proud of all their wrinkles and scars and grey hairs. It's actually a crown of glory. Every scar and ailment testifies to the trustworthiness of God, because you haven't been tossed around and thrown off course. You are here. You are with us. Your presence is living proof that God is faithful and he shields us for the coming salvation. People that are getting older sometimes worry, you know, about where they fit in the life of the church. And I just want to say publicly that you are so significant to our church. You are so significant to our fellowship. And it has less to do with who you were and more to do with who you are. It's not about whether you, you know, were a heart surgeon and you looked, had a gorgeous face in your 30s. It's about who you are today, because every scar teaches us about persevering in the faith, and you are a refined example of maturity and perseverance that shows us that the future is good, that the future is strong. So thanks to the older members of this church. You belong here. We look forward to having fellowship with you in the various congregations into the coming years. Please help us lead the way in this change. because you're used to change. You're used to all of the ups and downs of life. You've gone through these things before. I've only been here 7 years. You've been here, some of you, you know, 5, 10 times longer. So please help us through this change. Teach us what it looks like to be full of hope, full of confidence and faith, knowing that the inheritance is secure. You give us a picture not just of the next 10, 20 years. Give us a picture of eternal life. Lead us forward, please. And thank you for being part of all of the joys of 9 o'clock. We go to the future, and I'm just going to make this final point. A future that's unseen but glorious. We wish we could take a sneak peek of the future, that we could, you know, go into the valley and really see what it's going to be like. What's the shape of the church going to be? And then longer term, what's heaven going to be like? What's it going to be like to walk with Jesus? But it's invisible. It'll be great to be able to see it, but it's invisible. Yet what can we already see? We can already see what the angels long to see and what the prophets long to see. We can already see that Jesus was born, that Jesus ministered, that Jesus died, and that Jesus rose again. We are the privileged people of God who have come to know Jesus. And so verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there's a picture of Christian living right now, between the past and the future, as we're on the moment of change. Invisible, but inexpressible and glorious. That's what life is now for a Christian. The love of Christ. We are receiving the salvation of our souls. So I don't know what it is in particular that you love about Jesus. And to the kids who've written things in their acrostic poem about the amazing things you've learned about Jesus, I don't know what it is that we as a community love about Jesus. But one of the things I love about Jesus is he gives us an absolute certain tomorrow, a guaranteed future. And we don't need a sneak peek. We just need Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us every reason to celebrate the past, the present, and the future. When we look at the past, we see grace and peace. When we look at the future, we see grace and peace. And no change here can spoil a thing. No change here can spoil a thing, because every day we're one step closer to our living hope. Every day we're one step closer to meeting Jesus face to face. And every day we're one step closer to heaven. But we're here now. So let's give thanks for 9 o'clock church. And let's give thanks for what's ahead. Let's support each other through this change. And let's praise God now into the future and forevermore. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, you've given the precious blood of Jesus Christ for us. Thank you. Thank you for helping us belong in the past. Help us to belong into the future. May we really find our place in your kingdom. And we treasure that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we have a living hope. So please give us courage for the future, Lord, and help us to arrive home. In Jesus' name, amen.